Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. Therefore, I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. In each episode, we'll walk through my expanders, a term in my manifestation formula signaling the people that already embody, have, or are successful in what we are looking to call in. These are the people that we witness through our mirror neurons on a subconscious level that expand us into knowing that our manifestations are possible as well. Especially when we hear about their background, their upbringing, their trials and tribulations, and any of their pitfalls that they had to experience along the way. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifestor that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. Today's guest, Maggie Harsin of Puakai, is a modern-day curandera. She's also a herbalist, and she goes far further than that because she serves as my biggest healing expander, meaning someone who healed herself of nearly every chronic illness under the sun, which she was diagnosed with 12 years ago in New York City. And then she proceeded to try many of the allopathic, then the functional medicine approaches, spent a lot of money, and then actually when none of that was working, she decided to just follow her intuition, which took her out of the city. It took her to Peru to study for years under two incredible shamans down there who I've had the pleasure of working with. And then it took her to the Hamptons in a beautiful little cabin where she intuitively basically taught herself how to heal. And I think why most of you will find this episode who are struggling with any type of illness, emotional, physical, or energetic, she will be the most expansive person you can hear from, not only in her journey, but because everything she believes that heals us comes from nature and is totally free and totally practical starting today. I encourage you to, after this episode, digest everything she's ever written. It's what I tend to do. And I will say that ever since I've put most of her protocol she's given me into action, most things have started to turn around and heal for me. So kick back and soak it all in, especially if you're struggling with any type of illness. I'm so excited to share this episode with you. We have Maggie here, who is, how do I say it properly? Because shaman's not the word, and I know that we all use that. Well, I want you to introduce yourself. I let guests always do it because you do it so much better of what you practice, the medicine, your lineage. I want to hear it from you.
Yeah, so my training was really in energy healing and herbalism, really rooted in Peru. Also my own path, you know, healing myself. I really say that I was initiated as a healer through healing myself, truly. And these days, I really kind of feel that I'm a practitioner of energy because I'm obsessed with energy. I always really have been, you know, since I was a young child, and just learning more about, you know, how things that we can't see influence us.
which I think is kind of everything.
Everything.
I believe it. Yeah. So first, why don't you tell us, because I have so many questions and I'll get into everyone else's questions they've asked, but yeah. What did you suffer from in chronic illness? Because it was about 10 years ago when there wasn't a lot of awareness on the scene.
Yeah. So first of all, I think it's really kind of important to share that I was undiagnosed for a year. Mm-hmm. So for 1 year through that, you know, allopathic medicine, they didn't know what was wrong with me. Then through the path of functional medicine, you know, I began being diagnosed. So really adrenal fatigue, chronic fatigue, Lyme disease was really sort of what eventually the protocols that I started using for Lyme disease to heal. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, I was diagnosed with parasites, with leaky gut, all of the chronic things,
yeah.
You know, autoimmune, it was like from one day to the next, my body just shut down.
I didn't ever get diagnosed with Lyme disease, but everything else, that's how it felt. And up until about, I would say, 5 months ago, I literally had a moment where I was like, what's the point of living anymore?
I had the same.
Which I think everybody probably feels. And so many I know are suffering from many of the things you just mentioned. Yeah. And so that was your call to action.
It was.
Well, tell us about that journey, how you went from there to Peru.
Oh my gosh, how long do we have?
Yeah.
So I'll kind of try and share it in a way that is a little bit condensed. But essentially, I was living in New York City, dream job, dream partner, just had gotten my dream apartment, was really living the life that I had always wanted for myself. Very ego, actually, very ego-driven when I look back. And it was like from one day to the next, I was sick. And I wasn't just a little bit sick. I was totally a different person.
And how did it manifest for you and symptomatically?
Yeah, so I think the most pronounced is stomach issues. Like first it was like my digestion, like pain, cramping, nausea, couldn't eat. Everything I ate made me sick. Like everything I had ever known to be true, like for myself, suddenly became like not true.
Wow.
Like I became like, I was like, am I still me? Like it was just shocking. I think like the shock too of that experience.
And how did you feel the call to Peru?
Yeah, so essentially, sorry, you're like bringing me on track. I'm getting lost.
No, I'm like, I'm curious.
So essentially, you know, I got diagnosed with Lyme disease, which became what we were going to focus on, like my doctors and I. And at that time, I found a doctor that was kind of a bridge between functional and allopathic. So we were doing antibiotics, but we were also doing, at this point also was like chronic Lyme, chronic everything.
Yeah.
And then also doing like infusions of vitamins and, you know, more natural approach. Mm-hmm. But I just kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker to the point where his office was in Manhattan and I was living in Brooklyn and I could not get there.
Yeah.
The fatigue, the joint pain, the whole body pain, you know, just everything.
Yeah.
So my doctor was like, okay, great. I have an idea. You're going to start administering your own medicine. So I'm going to give you penicillin and you're going to do injections on your rear end. Mm-hmm. So it was about a week into this. And I remember being in my bathroom in my apartment. And I don't know what was different about this moment, but I remember looking in the mirror and looking into my eyes. And I just, it was like I fully came into my body and I realized and I really felt how much pain I was in. So not only the physical pain of having this illness, disease, whatever, but actually the pain that I was afflicting upon myself by taking chemicals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the pain was so intense that I really fell to the ground and I was like in a ball. Like screaming, actually.
This was
crying.
Your rock bottom.
This was my rock bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this was the first time in my life I really thought I was going to die. Like, I thought in that moment, I was like, this is death. Like, I don't know what else there is. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't take this either.
Yeah.
And so it was so crazy. In this moment, it was the first time that I've ever prayed. To God.
Wow. Powerful.
And I never believed in God. Mm-hmm. I never believed in anything, really. Mm-hmm. you know, as a child, yes, but I became, you know, which I'm going to share probably at some point, yeah. like went through traumas and all these things that, you know, really disconnected me from
all of it, body, God, spirit, everything.
Yeah. So had this experience and I remember my prayer and it was, you know, dear God, please help me heal myself. Please show me the way. And it was so simple. And the next morning I decided I'm going to go to my doctor and I'm going to tell him that I can't do these chemicals, that it's making me, I just can't, I have to stop. And that I just want to move forward with natural medicine, like connected to the earth. Because I was really feeling that my body can regenerate itself. It was like this.
Oh, that's a belief for me that only surfaced maybe a year ago. I was like, oh, my body really does just want to heal itself. Yeah. But before, because I've struggled for so many years now that I was like, it's not possible. It's not a thing. And as soon as I started to come to that pivotal belief point, which I had to see through a few expanders, I was like, oh, my body really can heal and it wants to. So the fact that you even started from that moment of prayer, that's incredible. Yeah. So no wonder you found your path probably a little bit sooner and it led you right where you were supposed to go.
And it was really this inner voice of like confliction between everything everyone's ever taught me and everything I've ever known versus Maggie.
Yeah.
And what's inside? And there was truly this voice outside and inside that were talking.
Wow.
And it was like, oh no, you are going, your body is going to regenerate itself. And I was so sure.
Wow.
So I went to my doctor the next day. I was like, this is happening. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm done. And I'm just doing, you know, vitamins and minerals and other things that I didn't know, plants, you know. And so it just so happened that I was receiving an IV that day of, you know, different herbal things and plants, especially like vitamin C and B12, all of this type of stuff. And there was a man sitting next to me who was like, how are you doing? And I'm actually like, you know, I'm not great. I'm actually like,
I know,
hit rock bottom last night, you know. And but I'm really excited because at the time, my partner and I were going to Switzerland to travel. His sister was getting married. So I said, but I'm really excited for this trip because I've been, haven't been away at all, you know, the past 2 years that I've been having treatment. And so he said, Switzerland, my sister lives there. She went to this biological medicine clinic and healed herself.
Wow.
Lyme disease.
Whoa.
And I was
thanks,
like,
universe. Yeah.
You know, and it clicked. And I was like, I went home, I Googled the clinic, and the first thing was like, we believe your body will regenerate and heal.
Oh, I have the chills.
And I was just like, I just was the tears.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is
hope,
the path.
Yeah.
And went to the clinic. Well, actually, it's kind of a crazy story. They were full. And I had to write a letter. She was like, but, you know, the woman I had spoke to, but you can write a letter to the director and maybe he will make an exception. And a couple days later, it was like he accepted my case because Lyme disease, you know, is on the rise and he was doing studies. So,
wow, amazing.
I went and that was really the first huge moment for me on the path and being in this little village in Switzerland in nature and, you know, healing myself through all these beautiful natural therapies.
So you actually healed yourself while you were there or it kept as a journey?
Okay. It kept going as a journey. Yeah.
Okay.
That was one piece.
Wow. And what were the biggest takeaways you had there about healing?
So I think, first of all, it was confirmation that the body will regenerate on its own and we have that capacity. Second was learning about plants, learning about alternative therapies. I mean, I was doing ozone.
Wow.
I was doing, you know, magnetic therapy, infrared sauna. They had me exercising on bikes connected to oxygen.
Yeah.
They had, you know, this other therapy where they had this device connected to my heart to kind of monitor. And it was like an emotional therapy.
Wow.
Which was incredible. So, and diet, you know, was part of that. Just, it was showing me this type of life that was very connected to the earth. And it took me out of the city into nature to be there as well.
Wow.
And I think ultimately looking back, it was really, I was changing my environment outside and internally. So that combination was really powerful.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And so how did you make it to Peru?
So
I'm so excited.
I know.
How from Switzerland Switzerland to Peru. This is, I want to stay in Switzerland.
So at the time I was still, so they told me at the clinic, they were like, Maggie, we highly recommend that you leave the city.
Yeah.
And I came back and I didn't listen. 6 more months I was here until I really left and I moved out to Long Island. Mm-hmm. And when I moved out to Amagansett, I got this little cottage, you know, by the water, and I really left everything.
Wow.
My sister was living here in the city, all my friends, my partner, my job, mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
I left, you know, and went to this little cottage all by myself. Mm. And so the key here, I guess, is I started transcendental meditation.
Great. I love it.
And just had incredible experiences of memories coming back and lots of trauma.
Yeah.
In childhood, lots and lots of trauma that I experienced. And I don't know if we'll go more into that specifically later.
Yeah.
So from there, it was just, I became very magnetic, I guess.
Yeah. Great. When you were doing the transcendental meditation.
When I was also living alone.
Out in...
It was the first time that I had ever also been alone.
In your life?
In my life.
Wow.
In my life.
Wow.
And I began meditating. I began, you know, went deeper into prayer.
Yeah.
And those two are really paired together for me, meditation and prayer.
My big question here, too, because I know I'm going to flip this and we're going to keep this as the supported, maybe the podcast right now, because what you're sharing is so good for that. Mm-hmm. How were you financially supporting yourself during this time? Because that's such a big expander for people who are right now chronically ill and they're like, what do I do? Which I know you're going to get into modalities mm-hmm. that will be healing that are actually incredibly accessible. Yeah. But at that point, because you were still in your discovery phase, how were you surviving?
Yeah, this is a great question and something I really struggled with initially. So I was very blessed to have the support of my family mm-hmm. to a certain extent, mm-hmm. as well as having a savings, which I've always sort of been that person that had.
Virgo.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're safe.
Yeah. And my, you know, I think the influence of my father too, who was always like, you know, save your money and don't really, you know, you don't need to be extravagant and buy things that you don't like, wait till you have the money and then.
Yeah. Then know. Buy it. So that's great.
So I did have that, but during that time period, I actually, what came forward and came to me was to start modeling again, which I had done when I was really young, like mm-hmm. 16. Mm-hmm. So this agent had approached me and it was for like fit modeling. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I was in front of cameras and everything. It was more behind the scenes. So I was living in Amagansett and I would like take day trips into the city, you know, to these jobs. And that was my main source of income at the time.
Excellent. Great. So you just figured out something that worked that you were expanded in and could do just
and that
to survive.
You know, also at that point, I had lost a lot of weight. It was like, okay, like this is happening.
It
too,
works.
You know, like it was just that fit. It wasn't something I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't.
It's just like somebody else getting a bartending job. It's the same thing.
Exactly.
That's just what was accessible and expanded for you.
And it allowed me, I could work one day and then I had like 4 days or 5 days to just be in nature, be in my space.
Healing. And resting.
Yeah,
and resting. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, what was your cultural background and upbringing?
So I was raised in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, East Coast.
So East Coast in nature. I mean, pretty basic nuclear family, I'd say. You know, my parents, my sister and I. My parents were separated when I was 4. So I think that was really young, mm-hmm. and that was really the beginning of, I think, a disconnection.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. When you say, or I want to finish out Peru first.
Yeah.
And how you got there, because you then moved to the Hamptons, like the sweet spot, little spot of the Hamptons
the
to heal.
Spot. And so from there, the transcendental meditation came. And then through that process, it was truly through the combination of meditation and prayer.
Mm.
For me, and there's an amazing quote by Yogi Bhajan, actually, mm-hmm. that, and I don't know exactly, this isn't exact, mm-hmm. but it's essentially like prayer is when man talks to infinity.
Yep, totally.
Yeah. And meditation is when infinity talks to man.
I love that. It's so,
so
true.
I had created this like coupled system mm-hmm. with spirit, mm-hmm. with God. Mm-hmm. And I really was in such deep practice and I just sort of knew like, what am I going to do now? Mm-hmm. And I kept asking, what is my path? What am I going to do now? What it, and just things were coming like
you were communicating
everywhere.
I yeah. love that. I think this was the first point this year was, I've done it before. I mean, when I was acting, I would like break down on the ground and be like, God, show me, yes. show me. Like, why am I torturing myself? But this year, along with realizing that my body really, I like believing that my body can really heal itself, was the first year that I was like, show me how to, I will not yes. put up with this anymore.
Yeah, this
show
is
me.
It.
This
yeah,
is,
and
I'm
I
done.
Do anything.
Same. And that's exactly what this year has been. I'm like, yeah. there's nothing more important to me than this. So the fact that you had already, you know, really administered that early on. So then I assume in meditation, you received the download.
Yeah, just the download. And, you know, different teachers came into my life and different things happened. But essentially, and I had a lot of journeys. I was traveling a lot during this time. So I was in New Zealand and Australia.
Wow.
And I was in Hawaii and I was in Mexico. And then it was like Peru.
Wow.
Came and I had connected. I had actually done... in Hawaii, surprisingly, is when I actually partook in an ayahuasca mm-hmm. journey, mm-hmm. and which is essentially what led me to going to Peru.
Wow, that's you heard from spirit to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it
wow.
was the medicine connected me with a woman, and she was like, you know, which then connected me to her teacher.
Wow.
And I was in Peru. Like,
amazing.
It just was like, and the thing is, I think the most beautiful thing that I've sort of learned and also the way I'm living my life now is just creating that space for it to come through. And I didn't know what was coming next.
Wow.
And for me as a Virgo too, and
triple
earth.
Yeah.
To let go of like,
that's so powerful.
Not knowing, but it was like every day my practice was making
wow.
space for that's... whatever it was to come through. And then to, you know, if that was a yes, if that resonated, then to act on that. And really in Peru is where everything started coming together. You know, my whole path of where I had been, the sickness, all of it. And it started making sense. And I was, my teacher there, Donnie Merrico, who was my first real teacher, he was sharing about energy and how everything is energy. And in Quechua, in the indigenous language there, it's called Kausai. And Kausai is like the living energy that permeates all of life.
It's like chi, if
exactly.
you are in, okay.
Exactly. And, you know, just learning about how everything is energy. And I started understanding, oh my gosh, he is right.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of was thinking, you know, my environment, the energy of my environment influences me, the energy of nature influences me, and the energy of my subtle body influences me. And these three factors are really what I feel like, you know, was influencing me and essentially led to my state of disease.
Amazing. And if you, before we get too much into the teachings, if you were to look back now that you've done so much work and you've learned so many modalities and tools, what do you think contributed the most to chronic illness or disconnection in body or a break in that energy?
Yeah.
Communicating.
I can tell you specifically.
Yeah.
So there's three things. Mm-hmm. And really, they're all as important as one another.
Mm-hmm.
The first was I changed my environment.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved from New York City into a place that energetically was different.
Mm.
So that was the first. And that for me was really the foundational piece.
Mm. And so it was just a place that was more in alignment with nature and your body.
Yeah.
And
then, you know, just kind of being out of the way of all this electromagnetic energy, which for me to heal myself, I was so sick that I couldn't heal in that environment.
Yeah.
And it's really like, I really do believe that we cannot get well in the environment that we got sick in.
I tell that to Max all the time.
We
I'm
have
like,
to
that's
change the environment.
This
is fundamental.
Yeah.
You know, we are by nature as human beings an extension of our environment. If our environment is toxic, we're going to be toxic.
Totally.
So that is key. And mm-hmm. the second was connecting with nature. So, you know, living near the ocean, being in the sun every day, being on the earth, you know, drinking really good water, connecting with the elements.
Totally.
And at this point, it wasn't even about food.
Yeah.
Food for me at this point was secondary.
Totally.
Which I've only recently been researching and understanding why that was true from a scientific perspective.
Ooh, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So basically, we can use plants sort of as a reference. So plants are not like humans. We're moving around, you know, the earth. Plants are stationary. They're always plugged in to the earth, you know, the electrons, and they're always plugged into the sun. So this is their food. Food for us as humans is like a backup system.
I agree, because food has never been the healing modality for me. It was phase one, and then I went into energetic and exercise, then I went into trauma, and now I'm going into the natural elements, which is rapidly speeding up my healing.
Totally, yeah. Which is, yeah, I mean, they're all, but so you can do any diet you want.
Totally.
And it's not going to affect you, you know, it's not, because it's not fundamentally the total truth, you know, it's part of the truth.
I agree. It's a component.
It's a component.
Yeah.
So the elements connecting, reconnecting to nature. I mean, living in New York City, I was so disconnected. I also was never, I mean, there's ways you can mitigate if you live in the city, and there's things you can do to, you know, change your environment a little bit. And there are things, but I wasn't doing any of them.
Yeah.
You know? And so
this is an especially hard city for that, I think. And you were even in Brooklyn.
And like the air, like just everything, like being
but
so
I could not agree with you more on this, and really really second what you're saying, because I know that, I feel that in my bones, like if I live in Los Angeles, you know, like secular Los Angeles, I will not heal. And that's
for
why
right now too,
for now, like exactly,
take yourself out, put yourself somewhere that's a different environment so that you can heal. And then if you need to go back there, or if you want to go back...
I mean, or spend less time there.
Exactly.
Or live in Topanga.
Exactly.
It's the perfect compromise. So I agree.
Exactly.
I love that. And what was your third thing?
And then the third piece was healing and clearing the energy of my subtle body. So for me, when I started meditating, doing transcendental meditation, is when I started having memories come back to me.
Yeah.
Of trauma that I had blocked.
Yeah.
For... I mean, I was 24 then, this was 26 years I had blocked, you know, trauma of sexual abuse. So,
which is some of the hardest for a sensitive, the hardest.
Totally.
Yeah.
And if it's not in our awareness, then how can we heal?
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
So, and this was the piece that was really connected to Peru. And this was fundamental for me, because the trauma was creating so many blockages in my body, and just blocking the flow.
It's so,
you know, I could be in nature, and I was receiving the medicine, but still I was operating from that place of
and when you, because I know people have different different definitions of subtle body. For you, are you talking about the aura when you say subtle body?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I like the word subtle body. I mean, aura, it's the same. It's
same, yeah.
The aura, you know.
I mean, Yogi Bhajan talks about, like, there's so many different variations.
Yeah.
But I see it as aura as well.
Yeah.
That, like, everything that's just sitting, even in human design, the way Jenna talks about it, like, all the things sitting in our subtle body are aura.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I'm quickly interrupting this incredible conversation, which I'm sure is bringing massive expansion your way, to share that this is a little secret offering just for you guys who are loyally tuning into this podcast. You won't find this on the blog or social media or anywhere else, but we're offering you 10% off with the code EXPANDED. That's capital EXPANDED. To sign up for any course on our site and receive 10% off. And so that goes for the formula and magnetism. If you're sitting there wondering, how exactly do I manifest? It's your step-by-step process. It also goes towards any of the Unblock series, all of which I always like to say help to pump up your magnetism, with Reparent and Shadow being the most important that every manifester should treat themselves to. And also the roadmaps, which are for the people who are just joining in and don't have the luxury of being able to have a session, or for the people who want to take the programs they already have far deeper in a way more navigated terrain. So enjoy that code, expanded, all caps, and we're so excited to have you as a part of this community. Make sure to also tune in to Supported for extra support weekly when you have questions. Unfortunately, because that's a subscription program, we can't offer a code off on that, but it's there for you and it's cheaper than a pack of gum every month. And I made it that way for myself when I was absolutely broke and had zero support in my life so that it could be accessible for anyone. Last but not least, I hope you're enjoying the episode, and please share any manifestations that are coming from doing these workshops simply using the hashtag FNManifestations.
One thing I want to ask is, back when you did hit your rock bottom, when you did get sick, and I mean, you were at the lowest of sickness that I think I've heard of, aside from my friend Amy, who is here in New York as well, the healthy apple.
And the craziest part, too, that I always have to mention is I looked okay.
That's the worst.
I looked, everyone was actually like, you look the best you've ever looked.
Yeah, like you're so healthy. You look so great. That I don't get it. It's that's when people are struggling with chronic illness. It's like, that's the hardest part, is even if you are quintessentially beautiful in society, or you have good skin, or whatever your thing might be, that looks like it emanates health inside, you can be dying. So I'm so glad that you say that. Yeah, it sounds like you were really dying. When you were at this big rock bottom, where was your self-worth at?
I mean, non-existent.
It wasn't. No. What did that look like for you on the inside?
I think really just being so disconnected from myself, living most of my life out of my body.
Same.
Never, like, and also not even really knowing myself, because I was really always trying to be something else in order to receive love.
Yeah, and trying to get it from other places than within.
Yeah.
Everyone plays the fool in love. Where was that time, if you've had it, where you lost all self-worth in a relationship or in any type of loving dynamic, even with yourself?
Where, can you say it again? Where you...
So like everybody plays the fool in love where, you know, you do all, like you love the wrong person, you do whatever, you know, the thing might be. When was that time for you in any type of relationship?
Yeah, so I think going back, I mean, into the past, my relationship with my mother.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which was so painful. And, you know, the trauma that I went through, you know, she wasn't present. She wasn't there to protect me.
Yeah.
And just so much pain throughout my whole life with her, you know. And she has been my greatest teacher. And our relationship is really beautiful now, and it's taken a lot of work. But essentially, I always just felt so unworthy of her love. She, you know, also suffers from mental illness.
Oh, so hard.
And so she has, you know, she went through so much trauma as a child. And I, it just really was difficult.
Yeah, I absolutely, I love that answer, because I think that's where most people's first experience of that can start, you know, myself included, absolutely. So thank you for answering that. Oh, it's so, that mother wound is so, so sensitive. What would be, if you were to talk about that ascension into the work you have, you're doing now, which you were obviously so meant to do. You're so meant to go through these illnesses in order to have healed, to help other people heal. When you were going through that journey, did you have any clarity that downloaded through you that this is what you would be doing?
Never.
Never, right?
There was never that. No. But there were, like, if I look back, yes.
There were hints.
Like, you know, I would go places and everyone was always, throughout my life, people would always look to me and tell me things, even as a child, though very mature, and tell me about their problems. And I would be like, what? How can I can't do anything. And I remember always feeling really helpless, you know. But I really, I had absolutely no idea that I would be helping other people and supporting other people to heal themselves.
Wow.
it was really through just creating space, focusing on healing myself, like 100% dedication every day.
Wow.
To myself. And then it was like one day, it was like,
I'm fine. Yeah, healed.
I'm fine. I'm healed. And now I'm going to be doing this for other people to help them.
I love as a guide. That. What did you lose along the way? Like, usually when we are finally knocked into our authentic path, which it sounds like you were earthquake. It was like you weren't getting the signs and the universe was
I was not.
Right.
I was not getting the little, like...
nudges, yeah. No. So usually we get earthquaked, and then when we're on our authentic path, what can happen is things tend to peel away from, you know, ourselves. What are some of those things that really peeled away? Obviously, your city peeled away.
Yeah, my city, my romantic relationship I was in... pretty much all my friendships.
Wow.
It was everything stripped away, really. Can I say everything?
Yeah, oh, that's beautiful.
Like, I really felt like when I moved to Amagansett, it was like me in that cottage.
Yeah.
And there was nothing else except me and, like, nature.
I love that.
And I think that contrast is probably what really pushed me as well. I mean, of course I had my family.
Yeah.
You know, and I might have not had their full support.
Yeah.
Because they also were really struggling with, you know, I think I reflect a lot back to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was not following a traditional path, which was really concerning for them.
Mm. What for you, what did that look like? For the person who is sitting at home really afraid to get on their authentic path, which is probably so different than what society suggested they should do in order to be loved. Mm-hmm. How did you process that? Or what was some of the pushback you were getting from society? Maybe people not even believing you're sick or that you're crazy all of it. How did you deal with it and what were you receiving?
Yeah, so I think... I mean, of course, I was receiving a lot of influence from the outside world through people mostly that, like, questioning what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And, like, non-believers, you know, that I'm not going to heal myself or that this is all kind of not real. But that was always, I would kind of, like, I feel it was a test because it would come and I'd be like, no, you know, I'm pretty sure at this point, you know. What was the second part of the question that...
And how did you process it to stay in your power, in your worth, and not be knocked off of your... Because that can be a part of, like, the manifestation processes when you want to do something and then people are, like, just out of fear and not knowing better, sometimes jealousy or whatever it can be, try to knock us off that path.
So just having, like, really through the prayer and meditation of coming back to myself, constantly coming back. Because, again, I was... lived most of my life looking to other people to make decisions for me, looking outside of myself for everything, love, what I should be doing, how I should be doing it. And so that path never worked for me.
Yeah. And you say, like, you manifest the moment you sit back and, like, get into yourself, things just start showing
up. Exactly. So I just started making space. So I would say, you don't have to know what it is. You know, if you're kind of in your life and you're not happy, but you're not knowing... just bring the focus, you know, to yourself. That I mean, that's the only thing that worked for me.
And getting quiet enough to listen to the downloads that are coming through.
Yeah. And absolutely. I think it is hard because sometimes there's stuff that comes out that's not pretty.
Absolutely.
And we have to be open to seeing the light and the dark because we are both.
Absolutely. That's the polarity balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's the shadow, right? The shadow work too.
And what I'm learning, which you're so versed on, that's the healing as well. The sun and the earth, the sun and
so
the earth.
So much. And the polarity of that masculine and feminine.
Absolutely. Yeah. So when you were going through the time of leaving this city, everything's falling away. I like to always say a manifestation. It's like, I see this all the time. It's a little crab, you know, you're in your little crab shell and then you have no shell and you're about to step into this much bigger shell, which you absolutely did. You went through like the hero's journey and, you know, now you're in your purpose. But when you didn't have that shell over you and protecting you, what were some of maybe the rock bottoms you experienced during that time or the fear or, you know, when you were alone, what came up for you that maybe I'm too afraid to be out in nature by myself, like any of those fears that surfaced that imbalance.
I think there were a lot. I realized kind of going through trauma as a child, I never really had addiction per se. I never really was addicted to drugs or alcohol or, but I was addicted to like relationship, like codependency. So I think this was the first time where I was alone. So that was coming up too, was like, I am alone. I'm alone. And this was always a fear, I think, from a very young age. Well, it wasn't really a fear, more reality, because when I had trauma, I was disconnected from everything, so I was alone. So, you know, but then I was in this place of nature where I was connected to everything, and I started realizing that I was connected. But I'm trying to think of other sort of feelings that were coming up, you know, around that time, I think.
Or were you just so sure in this path at that point?
I was questioning certain things, more like what is really contributing to my healing. I was in a very deep, like, curiosity and experimental phase where I was experimenting on myself, everything. Like, when I do this, what's the reaction?
That's how I roll. This, patterns.
You know, patterns. Yeah. And now I was alone, I was here, and I knew I had to be alone. There's something so key for me with that piece of, like, no other influence,
it's no city influence,
no people influence, here I am. You know? But I was sure that, you know, I was sure because up until that moment, I was guided by God, by spirit. And so I knew, like, I couldn't question really the place I was in because...
You were listening.
I was listening. Yeah. And I was receiving the information, and then I would either respond or not respond.
I love that. Oh, that's really
and
the
trusting,
way to do
right?
it.
Right? Like, I finally had to be like, there's no one outside of me that's... There's no doctor that's going to heal me.
Yeah.
There is no person. There's no one.
That's
there's
how no I felt as well.
Anything. So... It's me and the energy of the universe and spirit and nature
and the natural elements and everything.
Yeah.
When was the moment that you found yourself in your current work, in ceremony, in healing people, helping people, or giving people the tools to heal themselves? When was the moment that you went, oh, I'm in my purpose? When did that set in or that clarity hit for you? Or so, this is my purpose.
Yeah, so I think essentially my path in Peru eventually led through different teachers, and I came to connect with two women, the twins, who you met, Doña Isabel and Doña Linda.
Amazing. They were so powerful, my session with them.
Yeah, they are just the most beautiful women I've truly ever met and have inspired me beyond. It was really through, like, meeting them and being with them in Peru, there was a moment. I'm going to, like, cry.
Oh, please. It's so beautiful.
There was a moment where, you know, everything was about me. So I was, like, I was receiving healings to learn the energy and how it works. So they were teaching me about these limpias and the spirit, which are spiritual cleansings, and using eggs over the body, using plants to clear energy from the subtle body. And we were working with children. And I had received the healings, and then they were, like, teaching me, you know, essentially through that, apprenticing through that receiving. And they were like, okay, now it's your turn.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I started, you know, doing the Olympias, and I knew that they were teaching me. I was present of that. I knew what was happening from a conscious level, but I didn't really understand the implication of what it really meant, of what they were really saying. And there was this little girl who came who was four, and I did Olympia on her.
And how did that go?
Yeah, it was just so beautiful. It was like she reflected this, you know, child to me.
Yeah, oh, I loved that.
My inner child, and, you know, she had... Anyway, with her case, she had a lot of trauma and essentially had just fallen down a flight of stairs, and the doctors couldn't see any brain... brain problems because there was a spiritual energy that was blocking.
Wow.
So, you know, we did this healing and they were like, oh, wow, like this is this and she needs to go to the doctor because something's wrong. And
you could see that in the candle?
Yeah.
Wow.
In the egg.
And the egg
in
you
the
saw.
Egg, both the candle and the egg.
Wow.
And I was doing, I mean, her little body, she was like little.
Oh.
And I'm with her and she is just, and she's so still and she's looking at me.
Oh.
So and I remember just feeling like, this is why I am here.
Wow.
And I have no idea what this means. Like, I don't really know any details, but I just know that
this is your purpose.
And I'll never forget this moment. And when I was done, you know, my teachers were just like, there was like no words to say. We just looked at each other and they were like,
wow.
You know.
And had you healed at this point already?
I had, yeah.
Wow. So yeah. What was that moment for you? What point did you wake up and go, Lyme disease is gone, all my chronic illness is gone, adrenal fatigue is gone, you know, colitis, Crohn's, digestive. Yeah. At what moment? What? Tell us about that, how you came into that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for so long, even after I was healed, that I was holding on to it because it was given to me.
Yeah.
It was like, this is you, you know, this is... And so it took work to kind of like deprogram that and kind
and
of
stop
let
identifying
go.
Is
yes,
that
and stop yeah. identifying and so that was a piece of it. But I think when I realized like I'm okay, and part of it was the physical body stuff, but part of it was all of that. That whole experience led me to this moment where I was born to be standing here.
Wow.
And nothing else have ever gotten me here.
Wow. But being
but that, this whole thing, you know,
I believe that so much with everybody who goes through
too.
It
I do and it's hard, you know. I think also seeing clients that are going through hard times, it's like I get it, and it's not easy, but
there's a reason. What would be your words to someone, like your deeper words talking to your sickest self? What would you go back and say to that person looking in the mirror who's about to give yourself a penicillin injection in your butt and going, I can't do chemicals in my body anymore? Yeah. What would you say to her now?
Just that your body will regenerate and heal itself, and that is the only truth. Just to trust that inner guidance, you know, within you, the soul, really, the soul spirit nature that we have.
What would you say to the person like myself up until this year who had lost all hope that other people's bodies could heal themselves, but mine probably never could, which is so funny because I've so naturally stumbled onto a lot that you teach that is so simple now of how to heal your body.
Yeah.
But what would you say to that person who doesn't, they've heard it and they know that it's possible and they know on a cellular level when you get out of your body's own way, it can heal itself. But deep down inside, there's a belief that it's not possible. What would you say to them?
So that would the belief be that the body's like broken or?
Mine, I think weirdly, when I did a lot of work on it through, the same work everybody else does, it was that maybe this is my karmic path. I was supposed to come in.
Which I absolutely don't.
I love that.
Yeah,
so let's start with that.
With
what
the
you
Indian,
think.
You know, that tradition, it's just not even a piece. And I know I respect the traditions that believe in karma and everything, but that, for whatever reason, this has been my path, and my teachers feel that we are in this moment an embodiment of all our past lives.
Oh, I love that.
So focus on the right now, right here, right now, and free yourself of that, past. For sure, I do believe that the energy of our ancestors influences us, which is very different from sort of karma.
They're like your guides.
And you
can heal that as well and communicate with them.
Yeah.
Mine are always around talking. I'm like, back off. I need space.
Stay over here.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that takes us in to the next question, taking one from the people tuning in. How long were you sick?
I mean, can I say my whole life?
Oh, yeah, I know. That's
so
how I feel.
When I really look back, I was really, really the time that my parents separated, which was age 4. The trauma I went through, which was age 5, 6.
Ugh.
And then 6, going to school, putting on shoes, being under artificial light, I mean, that was also huge.
Mm-hmm. Sitting at a desk all day, like, it's unreal.
Yeah. And then growing up, all the, you know, all the memories of, I had chronic sinus infections. I was always on antibiotics.
Same.
Weird things.
Strep throat all the time.
Oh my God, strep throat. Like, wanted to take my tonsils out, wanted to take everything out.
Yeah. Did your mom have you cesarean, and or did she breastfeed?
I was breastfed.
That's amazing. I was like, cesarean, then not breastfed, antibiotic central. Like, no wonder.
Okay. Oh, and what's also interesting is, so mitochondria, which is kind of a hot word right now.
Oh, it's like everything with my healer, too. It's and all it's about the mitochondria.
It is everything right now, I think. The mitochondria are really the energy powerhouses of the cells.
Mm-hmm.
We only inherit them from our mother.
Whoa!
So there's a doctor, Dr. Douglas Wallace, who's doing all the research now about mitochondrial medicine and, you know, deep studies.
Because that's all my healer, like, really focuses on, is the biochemistry of the mitochondria.
Amazing.
Which is phenomenal.
Which is, I mean, come on, you're going down to, like, the cellular.
Totally. Which is literally what kind of is the basis model of development.
They say that the mitochondria is also our sixth sense.
Whoa.
Which really clicked for me, being a very, like, you know,
spiritual person.
I was like, whoa, I get it. You know, it's responding to everything.
Wow.
Everything that I can't see, it's responding to.
Which is the energetic everything.
Yeah, energetic everything.
So you came in, she walked in today with some really great insight, because I think I suffer from many of the things you did as well. And I'm just discovering how the sun has been truly, and I've only implemented it for a month, the most powerful, powerful thing. It's unreal. And obviously a lot of other things, you know, like getting out in nature and resting and getting a house in nature. Like, there's a lot of things in motion to really, we just changed our whole water system in our house so that I'm not at all exposed to chlorine.
Also, and
So important. Tell us a little bit about the research you've been finding about the biomat, and also about insulin resistance having to do a lot with blue light.
Yeah. So I think, so the biomat, two really cool things are essentially that it's kind of an instrument or a tool to connect you with the sun and the earth. So through the infrared light, which infrared light is heat.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that. Infrared light is also a red light. The red light is what regenerates mitochondria.
Wow!
Which is also AM sun. So sun from the time that it rises, you know, 3 to 4 hours, that is, you know,
infrared.
Infrared.
Yeah.
And they say, I think this, you know, the math is like it's 42% infrared, something like that.
Wow.
So you're getting a strong infrared. And then the second one would be the negative ions, which are, a negative ion is a molecule that basically gains a negatively charged electron.
Wow.
So this is very science, but that is, you know, basically the Earth.
Yeah.
The Earth has a negative charge, and it has an electron flux.
So for me personally, this is why I'm finding the biomat to be so medicinal for me, for both
because
elements.
It's connecting you. I mean, nothing can biohack the sun and the Earth.
No.
But it is, it's working on that, you know, those two things.
I love that.
And it's the feminine and the masculine.
Totally.
You know?
It's everything.
I believe. It's
one
balance.
Of the pieces of your three. It's, you know, and one that is should just be a tool. It shouldn't be an answer.
Yeah.
The natural free earth
everything
and
is
sun
all free
and water.
What really is healing is free. You know? Most of my life, too, everything was so complicated.
Yeah.
All the programs, all the protocols, everything. And then now it's just like, I can just...
I love that.
Really? But we're looking for, you know,
we're looking for the supplements.
A lot of us, including myself, doubt the path that is simple.
Absolutely.
We it's so wild. For me, too.
Wow.
It's like, I would have never believed that in the beginning. If someone told me just go be in the sun, I would have been like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I probably would have just dismissed it.
Totally.
I mean, I know that I would have.
I love that. Okay.
And then, the insulin.
Yes.
So I had found an article recently and just thought of you because I had seen what you were sharing about insulin. And it is believed that insulin is a solar hormone, meaning that it's very sensitive to light. So it's very sensitive to the sunlight and very sensitive to blue light, which everything is blue light these days.
Totally.
Artificial light, screens.
Yeah.
I mean,
artificial light inside. It's dreadful.
This is an ideal environment
here.
that you've created in here, this is ideal. You
know? For just the natural.
Yeah, just the natural light.
And for people tuning in, some of the ways that I kind of tackled that, because I intuitively felt, I mean, I would cringe under, you know, LED or...
Yeah, LED is the worst.
The worst.
Worse than fluorescent.
Everything's been taken to LED now, too.
It's pure blue. If you look at it, you can even...
It's the worst.
You can just feel it on your body.
Feel it. That's how, and I intuitively was like, Max, we have to get all of this out of the house.
Yeah.
And so we changed to all like super old, low EMF,
the
amber.
Yeah, exactly. Which is good.
And like with the house, if it hasn't burnt down yet.
Mariposa. I saw that.
If it hasn't burned. One thing I really want to do there is all candlelight after dark would be the best.
Because it's red light.
It's red light, exactly.
Fire is, you know, it's all red light.
And like, that's something I would love you to touch on right now a little bit. And I know we'll go so much deeper into actual tools and things and supported, but what I was starting to lean into and intuitively know this year, and kind of a mantra of mine has always been, if people weren't doing it 300 years ago, it's just a fad.
Exactly.
Everything to heal, can you touch on that a little bit more, is free. It's literally free. It's what we were doing way back in the day.
Yeah,
Any of your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so for me, yeah, everything goes back. It's like, what were ancestors doing, you know? They were in the sun. They were connected to the earth. They were drinking water from
springs
and pure sources, you know? So there was, you know, the water, light, there was magnetism, there was this energy that was working with their body.
Without blocks going through
it. Without blocks. There was no, you know, foreign light, there was no foreign, you know...
Technology.
The non-native EMFs right now, which is just that whole category, which blue light is a non-native EMF.
Totally.
Which is wild. And also just our food. And I think more recently, I've really kind of had a lot of clarity around food.
Mm-hmm. What is your food philosophy?
My food philosophy is really open. I don't restrict. I have no restrictions for myself. I do eat what is in my environment.
Mm-hmm. Local. And organic.
And the reason is because, and I just received sort of a test around this through my own health, which I can share too if
yes,
that would
please.
Help people.
Yeah.
But essentially, when we eat food that's in the environment we're living, it's receiving the same light source.
Totally.
So it is dialed in.
It's the same energy.
It's the same energy.
What we're living in.
So when I got back from Peru, because I was living there last winter for 6 months, and I came back and was still eating like avocados and bananas and mangoes and pineapples and all the things that grow there. And it was winter in New York City.
Totally.
And my body was like just...
I've stopped too.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And there was... It's a light mismatch.
Yeah.
So I actually was getting rashes.
Mm.
My skin was like just weird things. I was feeling super fatigued. I would... You know, but I thought I was doing well. And then, again, tested, because I love experimenting. Went to the doctor. Did all the things to kind of see.
The
and
test.
And, of course, it went back to the light.
Wow.
Always.
Wow. And
light
also...
And energy, you know?
I was just going to say, like, energetically, the mitochondria, it's because food... Everything in our life communicates an energy and a response,
yes.
A cellular response. And, like, even your mitochondria, it's not the same energetic language.
The mitochondria are, like, taking in the information from where you live.
Yeah.
And then you eat an avocado in winter, and it's, like...
Unless you're in L.A. in summer. You know what I mean?
Unless you're living in a place where that grows.
It grows. Exactly.
So, for me, in the winter in New York, I mean, it's super limited, which is... I mean, why at this moment I'm traveling, but I'm working on that. That's something for me. I'm really, at this moment in my life, working on my environment and really, like...
Honing in on the specifics.
Honing in, yeah.
I love that. Okay, going into the unblocking, because you've actually done most of the work, and it's for somebody who's just tuning into it now, and you've gone through trauma, you understand how much this can really bring up.
Mm-hmm.
What can you say to the new unblocker who's about to experience the work based on your experience of reparent, of opulence?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them who's just stumbling into it?
Mm-hmm. Reparent for me was incredible, Lacey.
I mean,
there's so much to share around that. But after really having awareness of the trauma and energetically clearing that from my body, I needed, like, the support to, you know, reprogram that. Mm-hmm. And that was so key for me in the reparent of recreating, you know, these experiences of being in a really loving family, having these memories of like being loved for who I am and being protected and all of the things that I really feel like I had them to a degree, but I needed so much more.
Especially a little Virgo girl. Yeah. I just think about you guys because I know Virgo so well. Yeah. And you guys need so much. You're so intelligent. Yeah. You're so autonomous and you're so old for your age, but so sensitive. And yes, I'm so glad you did that for yourself.
Yeah, so just, I think just trusting in the process too that you're sharing. I really, when I first kind of looked at what you were sharing, it just immediately resonated, you know, and just trusting that if you're called to do unblocking and to do the courses, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. And surrender to that flow.
I love that. And what happened for you after reparent and opulence?
Oh my gosh. Well, so much. So right before I did reparent, I actually had just gone back from Peru and, you know, manifested this kitten.
Oh, I remember you sharing. Oh, and so cute.
So it was crazy. Him and I were doing reparent together.
Oh, he was
2 months old with me. And to this day, do you believe, and I have photos I want to show you, whenever he hears your voice, he comes to where I am. I am not joking.
He knows it's the cozy where you're going to drop in.
Yeah, and he's just like, oh, we're healing. Like, he's healing too, you know?
It's they all cats, I believe, are. Yeah. They're so, so, like, how the Egyptians worship them and stuff. They're so much. Yeah, powerful.
Yeah, so much. So, wait, so getting back to the main...
Yeah, after reparent, you got your... which everyone needs to go visit and have a session at.
Oh, yeah, so... right away after reparent. So one of my blocks was very clear. I experienced trauma in my home. It was impossible for me my whole life to manifest spaces.
Oh, wow.
Because I never felt safe in this home. So, you know, through reparenting was unblocking and reprogramming that
creating my home that safe space.
And it's so ironic too because I love being home. Like wherever I am, I'm such a homebody, you know.
Yeah.
But then at the same time there was this major block that, you know, it was never safe or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just was really focused on that space and made a list. Knew that I wanted a healing space, it just seemed like it was the next step, you know. Made a list. The list was crazy. It was like in nature but in town. No, you know, like
that's how mine looked too. They're outrageous.
I went back and was reading it, I'm like, what would this even look like? You know,
But you asked for your core needs. You really did, yeah.
You know, next to the ocean and just near the farms and in nature but, you know, in town, so I feel like connected to the community, and so the space immediately manifested, and it came forward, and I responded, and it was like just meant to be.
Incredible.
Yeah, and it's been huge to have that space where people can. I was at that point going into people's houses, and working remotely, so to have a space where now people can come into.
Like your space where you ground the energy
is just everything.
Wow. And even Deborah yesterday was like the most amazing spot.
She was a huge expander for me in the space she's created, and
I love that. Yeah. And so where can people come and find you at that space, which I want to come out and see you there?
So it's in Amagansett. It's right in town on Main Street.
Wow.
Which is great. Yeah, and I'm there.
So if anyone's headed to the Hamptons.
Yeah, if anyone's headed to the Hamptons for the summer. But I also work remotely.
Wow.
So since it's all energy work.
You do Skype?
I do,
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Telephone. Great.
And honestly, I've had incredible personal experiences with remote healing.
Yeah.
And some of my most profound healing sessions have been remotely. Mm-hmm. And also working with individuals. Like, I am constantly just blown away, you know, at what. And I think, too, taking away the physical, and then we're just relying on these
senses,
other senses,
which are more powerful, I believe.
I think the physical can be a distraction, you know.
Yeah,
but it's, I mean, of course it's beautiful to
totally, but it is like you get so fine-tuned when there can just be one sense,
because you're like, you're inward. It's just your
and you can go deeper, you know, I believe. And then also tell us what you are, we're all working on and that you've manifested since opulence that just came through that we all can't wait. Hopefully in like a year or so we'll come out.
I know. So in opulence, I mean, so much has come through after that. And it was funny because I took on opulence not really wanting to generate more money per se, but just like, I think abundance in general. And what I realized after was how blocked I was.
Oh, wow. We all are. We take on so much programming.
Yes.
And not just about money, like about career, potential, who we, especially if you're a woman, how you can show up as a woman in this world of career. I mean, we're just all, I come from such lack mentality.
I mean, me too. Yeah, it's true. And I just, not wanting to be seen. Just wanting to be invisible.
Yeah.
And so really kind of, you know, working through so much. But, so immediately after opulence, this, you know, opportunity has come forward for me to write a book.
Wow.
And
I'm like the first person who's going to buy.
There was so much I had to let go of to kind of be in this space. And I had no idea that it was coming through. I never was like, I want to write a book.
Yeah.
I made the space through opulence. Mm-hmm.
And through you use yes or no. Tuned in to that.
And my sacral authority.
Ah, you actually.
That was key.
She's a manifesting generator with a sacral authority.
With a sacral authority.
Yeah.
Which I love. So, yeah, and then that came, you know, that this sort of opportunity came through that space. And at first I was really like, well, what would I, you know, what am I going to share? And then it's like, I actually have so much.
So much.
It's never ending.
Yeah. I could sit with you for 4 hours being like, how did you do this? What did you do with that?
Yeah,
what are these tools?
It's like my story and my life and being vulnerable to share that. And then, you know, what I believe, you know, and what's true for me. And then the science behind it, which I am so passionate about.
Mm.
The science, you know, the bridge, science and spirituality to me is like,
it's the perfect connection.
It's so,
even though science, I think, is still figuring out. Still so, you know,
it's
archaic.
Like behind us. But it's cool that it's like,
watching it start to bridge is really special along the way.
Totally.
What, on a last note, you're obviously serving as such an expander. Oh, wait, first I do want to also tell people, too, that you do have the online course available right now.
Oh, yeah.
If you're wanting to tap into some of these practices that you teach, especially through herbalism rituals.
Yeah, through I'll plants. Let you. Yeah, so the online course is the, you know, the medicine of Pachamama, and it's really practices to more spiritual practice, earth-based practices, you know, that we can do on our own to reconnect and, you know, like one day is, you know, building your altar. And
I'm going to get it. I feel like that's been lacking in my life so much.
And connecting to the elements. And it's just like a very sweet course. It's written. So it's a written course online.
Excellent.
But that's really sweet.
And we can find that on your site.
Yeah, you can find that on my
site. What's your site?
Which is puakaihealing.com.
And it's PUAKAI healing.com.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to end on. Mm-hmm. Serving as an expander for a lot of people who are tuning in, that they can heal their bodies and the career path you've found yourself in. You know, it's a total it's a total hero's journey. You never would have imagined. What are the last words you would say to someone in a position where they're either really ill or they have no clarity or clue, just hints of where their path might be heading?
So what I immediately think of is the time when I was in New Zealand. And I was in this used bookstore and found this tiny little book by Dr. Edward Bach called Heal Thyself. And this book really influenced me. And he has a lot to say in the book, but specifically like following the dictates of your soul.
Oh, amazing.
And that phrasing and not letting anyone interfere with that.
That's exactly what you did. You literally tapped in through your meditation practice, getting out in nature to listening to everything your soul was communicating and didn't waver.
Like here I am. Here we all are, you know?
And what would you say on that last note to someone who's really struggling out of fear, so afraid to be seen, so afraid to take those leaps? What would you tell them?
Fear is a big one. I mean, I would say most clients come to me because of fear.
Yeah.
And so we really believe in the, you know, in the medicine that I practice, it's really believed that fear enters the body and a part of our essence leaves, because there's that interchange of energy.
Yeah.
So for me, the Olympias are so incredibly healing.
Wow. Can you explain what Olympia is?
Yeah,
really? I've had the honor to try it. It's so magical.
Yeah. So I would say, I mean, this is kind of a practice, but I'd say if anyone's having fear, you know, Olympia is a spiritual cleansing. So it's clearing the subtle body, cleansing the subtle body of essentially the energy of fear, which, you know, looks in so many different ways for different people.
Mm-hmm.
Could manifest as, you know, could be trauma, could be depression, could be
unlovable.
Yeah. Just everything.
Yeah.
But, I think if you're really in a state of fear, for me, it's like plants.
Mm.
So I would say, you know, find plants like even like basil, rosemary.
Those really like effervescent jump-starting plants.
Yes. Yeah. And this whole medicine is like things that are easy to find. Like my path to healing myself and what I share is so simple.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the type that's like all of the things.
Yeah.
I can't. It's too much for me. It's too overwhelming. So I would say, if you're feeling like you're really having a lot of fear, look to nature to support you. So find basil, find rosemary, and do Olympia, and just take the plant and pray with the plant. Connect to the spirit of the plant and ask for healing.
Amazing.
And then use it, you know, just over your body.
It's like a bath you take with it, essentially.
You could rub it on your body. But look to nature, like, you're not alone.
Mm.
You know, we're not alone. We are connected to everything, all of life.
Mm-hmm.
So use that to support you, you know.
The best ending words.
Oh, good.
It's so true.
Yeah. Oh. It was true for me, and that is really all I can share, right?
Yeah, that's your teaching.
Yeah.
It is totally what you have gone through to teach.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Thank you so much for joining and sharing your wisdom and all of that. And everybody tune in to support it, because we're actually going to get into practices and modalities and deeper. So,
so
have
beautiful.
A good day.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much for joining today. And if today's episode piqued your curiosity about manifestation, head over to freeandnative.com and click on Start Here, where you'll find a video of me giving you all of my recommendations of how to navigate manifestation from here on out. And again, if you liked it, please comment below, review, and share with a fellow manifester. And if you're looking for the like-minded community that you might be manifesting, head over to our Facebook group called The Secret Society. You can find that on our homepage. And make sure to sign up for our newsletter, where we send out new manifestation content and how to digest it and put it into practice twice a month. Have a beautiful day.